in a world where you're having to leave your home, you're bugging out quick, do you have your medication? In that world, James and a list of celebrities will show you exactly what you need to survive.
This is James from SurrealPunk.com.
And this is Gilbert Gottfried sitting in for Couch Potato Mike this week because he's off trying to make millions of dollars as a voice actor.
That is true. Wow, those levels look much better. If you've been following along in our quest here, you've noticed the past, I don't know, months or so. When I look at the screen when I'm recording, I'm like, oh, those levels look terrible. They do not look terrible this week. Last week, I wasn't even using the microphone, so you don't know that because I stopped recording as soon as I realized I wasn't using the microphone and started over. So you don't even know that. And yippity-skippity, yeah. Yeah, so...
You know, I wasn't even here for the last episode. You just totally left me out of it. Mickey cut me.
Yeah. Mike is trying to get some voice acting works because I want to do a sort of side gig money making on the internet episode for next week or the week after. Basically, as soon as I can get Mike to get even a dollar of monies made from the interwebs.
You are choir boy next to me.
We'll do that episode. I think that everyone should have some sort of secondary monetary income source, something not tied, you know, to you slaving over your boss's, whatever, slaving over your boss's needs.
Did you say slaving over your boss's knees?
Yeah.
Knees, like down on your knees, like suck it dry.
Yeah, he's warming up for his demo reel we're going to record after this.
Giggity.
I'm a huge fan, and then we'll go into this a lot more on the next podcast when we talk about that. I'm a big fan of residual income streams. Residual income streams are the best. You know, like normally, most of us, we go in and we trade our time for money, which is, of course, limited. You can literally only work so many hours. Your income is tied to your hourly output.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
But residual income works all the time while you're asleep. Like, so affiliate programs are where I recommend, I review something, people click, they buy it, I get a commission on this. You know, and like things like Amazon, like if you go through survivalpunk.com, you click on the Amazon banner, you buy something. The price that you pay is the same as the price that you pay anyway, but Amazon's like, thanks, bro, you sent these people our way. Here's a couple of nickels for you.
Oh, a couple of nickel bags.
Yeah. So there's that. My best performing affiliate thing, which I don't do any work for now. Like it was a review on the Primal Professional, aka Chronology shoes.
Yeah, man, you know, I like to wear shoes.
Put that out and I just make sales for it. You know, people will, I think it's the most popular, if not only review on them on the internet. So if people are looking to buy them, nowadays when people want to buy something, they usually look up a review. It's like, oh, is this good or bad? Shit or, you know, good.
You guys looking up reviews the other day on Waffle Irons.
Yeah. And, you know, especially with a $200 pair of shoes, you want to look up a review. And if people buy it, and I make a good commission on that. So anyway, we'll talk a lot more about that in the episode. And if you have a podcast or a YouTube channel or something and you need voice acting work, you can find Couch Potato Mike on Fiverr. And for $5, you can get him to record some voice acting work for you.
Come on now. Ooh-ah. You know
You want this voice all over your wife's sweet ass. Ooh-ah.
Yeah, so this week, hold on, let's consult the board. We have things to talk about.
Oh, I am great at consulting boards. Nobody is better than consulting boards than I am.
I'd much rather have Mitt Romney's binders full of women.
Now, my fellow Americans, we're going to be discussing basic first aid kits.
True. But we have a phone number to give out, and we have an incentive. So, let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
All right, Hillary, you got that phone number ready for me?
If people
yes,
have
I've got
questions,
it right here.
Yeah.
You're not Hillary.
No, this is Lois Griffin. And if you have a message for either one of us, you call 615-657-9104.
Oh, Jesus, Lois, your voice is way too nasally. That's 615-657-9104.
Weird.
Leave us a message.
Sometimes I get really weird emails through the Survival Punk email account.
Hey there, ladies.
Chinese
How would you like to make some
people.
Caramel-colored babies with me?
All right. So, shout out to, let's see, I don't want to say the name, Swizz Sandy.
Swizz Sandy?
Oh, Swizz Sandy.
Why are we shouting her out?
Swizz Sandy followed the directions that we gave out two podcasts ago. So, if you go on to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you can find the Survival Punk podcast on the internet, you leave us a rating and review, send us an email, james@survivalpunk.com.
And you get a free sticker.
Yeah, I'll mail you a sticker. Sandy, Swizz Lady, her sticker is in the mail. She got her sticker. So leave us a rating and review. Doesn't even have to be a good rating review. You can be like the dick bag from back in February that left a one-star review saying that all that me and Couch Potato Mike do is read Facebook articles and posts, and there's no original content, and we're not unique.
There's no original content. They're very ununique.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last time we read. Like we used to begin the shows with news articles to inform you guys on some news that we thought was relevant. We quit doing that, God, like a year ago or something.
Years and years ago, I am Duffman.
Yeah, so I don't even know. Hold on. Like I said, you don't have to leave us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 3 or 4-star review because you mildly like the show, but you really want a sticker, that's fine. I'm not going to ding you.
I was going to leave a 5-star review, but I accidentally ate 2 of the stars because I spilled some wing sauce on them.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone would, like, leave a 1-star review and want a sticker, though. Like, I hate your fucking podcast, but dude, I really want a sticker. It's sweet. Yeah, whatever.
Your podcast is detestable. Now give me my free sticker. I need it to hold on my Illudium Pew 36 highly explosive space modulator I stole from that Martian.
Okay, so I think that's all. I think it's all the preamble we have before we get into.
And on that bombshell.
Now, this is going to be a multi-part series. Really, I had a listener write me and ask about sort of medical and trauma care, and that's a big episode. We haven't, you know what? I tried to find the episode where we covered first aid, and I couldn't even find that episode. So it must be super old that we did that, because I remember we did one. I know we did, Mike. You remember? I mean, we did one. I just don't remember when. So obviously, it's probably been like 100-something episodes ago, and the audio was probably shite. We didn't have our sweet Ed Buddy 2000 microphone that we have now. Go ahead. You had something to say?
And we weren't recording on our sweet Lappy 2.0.
No. Yeah. We've literally burned out the brains of a laptop recording podcast with our sexy voices.
What a brains.
What?
Marf.
Okay. Turn the voices down in the pod. We'll do your voice real after this.
Sorry, I was getting my larynx warm.
Yeah.
Or laryngitis.
We've
or
not,
meningitis.
we've not done a medical episode in a long time. It's time we do one. I'm going to start with basic first aid kits.
You need one.
Before we jump into, like, the next level kits, the next level kit mentality, maybe we will try to get someone back on the show to talk about it. Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones on the podcast once, and that was a great episode, but a debacle behind the scenes you guys don't even know. Every bit of technology we had to record podcasts with failed. Everything failed.
They had to end up recording it and sending us the file.
They did.
It was so pathetic. They were sweet about it.
They were great. And I'm sure they're like, ah, fucking amateurs. Even our microphones or something went down. Like, we were like using earbuds. We were using one set of earbuds. Each of us had an earbud listening to them talk. Like, it was, every bit of technology went bad. It was great interview. Bad behind the scenes. And that was, I guess, good on us and them, so that you didn't even really, you didn't know. You just heard a good interview.
I know what the problem was with that one.
We didn't sacrifice a goat to the Dark Lord?
No, you're interviewing the wrong doctor. That was horrible. Let me try that again in Capaldi. You were interviewing the wrong doctor.
Yeah.
I'm off this morning.
Yeah.
I normally can do doctor voices.
You would get warmed up.
Allons-y! Well.
These kits are, this episode, these kits, they're not for
the faint of heart.
Without rule of law. This is not like, the shit has hit the fan, and there is no doctor.
These are basic first aid kits we're talking about.
Exactly. They're basic first aid kits. They're
the kind that everybody needs to have in their house already.
Yes. I like to think of it sort of twofold. They're for boo-boos and designed to get you safely to a medical practitioner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, there's several different types of first aid kits you can get. Like, you can go to Walgreens or CVS and stuff like that and pick up, like, a basic first aid kit, which is great for anybody to just keep in their kitchen or their bathroom. It'll usually come with a variety of different Band-Aids, some kind of generic Neosporin, or name brand if you get the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of shit like that.
Hell, even Band-Aids is name brand. What are they? Adhesive?
Band-Aids is a name brand, Dante. We should call them adhesive strips.
Adhesive strips, yeah. They have a generic term.
Snooch to the nooch.
But yeah, these are designed to get you there. And I am a bigger fan of you building your kit than buying those ones from the store. Some of those ones, if you get a good price on them, they're okay for some of the base materials to salvage from them. Mm-hmm. They tend to, one, be a little overpriced. And two, they're not really purpose-built for what we're looking for here.
No.
Usually, when I build these kits, like I said, there's boo-boo and get you to the doctor, get you to the EMT or something. And the big part of that is blood stoppage. You need to stop the blood and pretty much all of these traumatic injuries to have enough blood to make it to the doctor.
Blood?
Yeah, so a lot of these kits aren't built...
Oh, please, don't stop the blood.
Built to stop the blood, really. You know, they'll have a few Band-Aids, scrapes and bruises, stuff like that. And then you can buy massive boxes of Band-Aids for a lot cheaper than you can, you know, an overpriced first aid kit, which is basically just full of Band-Aids and aspirin.
Yeah.
So, if you find one on clearance, by all means, get one and, you know, salvage it. You know, take what you need from it.
But you're going to need gauze, and you're going to need tape, and you're going to need clotting agents and iodine and all sorts of shit.
All sorts of stuff. I've wrote articles, and they were, God, old. I've wrote articles a long time ago about my level 1 and level 2 first aid kits, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. We're not going to talk about when you get into, like, level 3 first aid kit.
You can have my level 3 first aid kit when you pry it from my cold head hands.
When you get to the level 3, you're really talking about without rule of law, grid is down, collapse has happened, there is no doctor. This is what you need to be your own doctor. And then not only is that a whole nother level of gear, and I'll talk about that when we get to that part of this series, it's a whole nother level of skill set. Whoa. You can't just, I mean, literally, you could. You can go out and spend, I don't know, I think it's $200 to buy like the Stomp 2 kit or Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones. They have a, you know, without rule of law, collapse medical kit. It's a few hundred dollars.
A few hundred dollars? Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
But without the training to know how to use it is pointless. So the things I'm going to talk about now, you don't really need training. You can watch a couple first aid videos. If even that, really, you're good to go. And that's what we're going to focus on this episode. We will not touch on next level items. Like, we will not talk about, you know, getting your own IV kit. We will not talk about stitches. We will not talk about doing sutures. We will not talk about decompression needles.
Or Hanuman's family.
And we won't really, I'm not going to talk about chest seals in this episode. That's all sort of for the next level. You
I'm not
can
a chest
carry
sealer.
That.
I'm more of a chest protector.
Yeah. You can get a cheap chest seal and throw in one of your level 2 kits. But yeah, we're not going to talk about that. So I've broken down the first aid kit, your basic level 1, level 2 first aid kit, to four main categories. You have medicines, blood control, sprains and breaks, and tools. So, first of all, medicines. What medicine should you carry in a first aid kit?
Painkillers.
Painkillers, yeah. I like a variety, actually. I like to go to a drugstore, whatever, you know, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, whatever. And I
whip out your shotgun. Anybody move and I'll blow your fucking head off.
I buy the generic brands because, well, who do you think manufactures them? Honestly, I always buy the generic brands. And I buy pretty much like all of them. So I'm a big fan of the knockoff Excedrin Extra Strength, the that brand, naproxen sodium, aspirin, basic aspirin, BC powder if I have that, acetaminophen, knockoff Advil, which is, what is that? That's not acetaminophen.
Ibuprofen?
Ibuprofen, yeah. So all of those basic painkillers, they all have their special niches. They all have their special uses that you would use them for. You know, like, if you just have a mild headache, then good old aspirin will just do the trick.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Pounding headache, you might want to go a bit more.
Morphine.
I have noticed, I wish I could get some children's tube of morphine. For things like strep throat or any really bad pain, I'll go to the Excedrin Extra Strength knockoff brand. And I'll just take those. And it to me, that works really well.
You got any black tar heroin?
And I will talk about sort of the stronger stuff in a bit. So that's, you know, just a smattering of your pain medicines.
And, yeah, you said smattering.
Yeah. And, you know, take a note from the drug dealers here. Don't throw the whole bottles in your medical kit. I get those little drug baggies. You can get them from the craft department of whatever store or Hobby Lobby. Or they'll have tiny little Ziploc bags. You know, just throw in...
Tiny little Ziploc bags in publications all over the country.
I still don't know how that was supposed to work. Normally, I would say if you know where that comes from, send me an email. I'll send you a sticker. But...
You're running out of stickers?
I do need to order more stickers. Yeah. So get the little tiny Ziploc bags. Throw in, like, you know, 4, 8, you know. Throw in just a few of those pills. And that, you get a lot of extra room. You get some waterproofness. Yeah, the containers they come in are extremely waterproof. But they're bulky. They're heavy. And by doing this one, you can split up your medications to several kits instead of, you know, using one bottle in one kit and that's it.
You know, I've actually got an extensive medicine collection in my first aid kit.
Yeah.
You know what I have? I have 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid.
actually think Mike does have a good first aid kit somewhere in his bug out bag. I think I packed one.
What? No!
No, I did.
Stop here. That's,
I did I pack you a level one kit in your bug out
bag. Yeah, my first aid kit's actually missing.
Oh, weird.
I was just looking in my bug out bag last night, and like half the shit's gone from it.
With the restock you. For the level one kits.
It's full of MREs, right?
There's,
I've got like 12 MREs in there.
You do. I can't remember. Oh, God. Where did I get them? Hold on. Let me consult the thing.
Mechalekahai, mechahiney ho.
There, you can get these really thick plastic Ziploc sleeves that I like to put in my level one kit so that you just pull them out. They'll kind of fit in a pocket. I can't remember where I got them from, though. They were... I was trying to look at the old article to see if I have it, but I don't know. I don't know where I got the,
I think they came from overseas.
No, what? Oh, he can be there.
I know places where you can buy them in United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica,
nope.
Peru.
Stop. I don't know. Whatever that thing is, it's just a thick Ziploc bag, basically, that fits my contents in it.
Right on top there, it says moist.
It does. I will look, and I'll try to find a link on Amazon or a website on the internet where you can buy these plastic containers for these plastic Ziploc bags. They're not Ziploc bags. It's really a bad term. They have like the Ziploc function and they're plastic, but they're really thick. Unlike a Ziploc bag, which, you know, a light breeze will blow it up. And it is, you're right. It is a name brand.
And they don't sponsor the show.
They do not, but I will find it. I will find where you can get them from and I will link them in the show notes.
I think the acceptable genericized term is something like one zip.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
Dean Koontz uses that in several of his books, one-zip bags, instead of Ziploc. That looks nasty.
Yeah, that was that Mercer boil I had on my leg.
That's nasty.
So, yeah, whatever that is, that's a good container for him. And you can see in it, and I like that, too. So, more medicines. Loperamide, which is anti-diarrhea.
Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
That you need in your first aid kit, friends. You know what? I'm a big fan of Emotion. Diarrhea is a natural body process where if you have diarrhea, it's your body trying to get something out of it. So that's a good function of the body. But there are times where you do not need that function.
Like if you're in the desert or someplace where you could dehydrate easily.
Exactly. If you are trying to bug out or escape and evade someone,
it's not going to help you if you have to stop every 5 minutes to keep from having to change underwear.
Or, you know, like right now, as we're recording this, our friends in Florida are getting away from Hurricane Irma. This is the Saturday before it's supposed to landfall Sunday morning.
Have you heard from DP?
I have not heard from him. Will Parsons is a good member of the Survival Punks group on Facebook, and he was basically heading down the interstate, and it was like neck to neck, like basically all of Florida was going down the interstate to get out of it. So
yeah, now this has not been a really great time in the U.S. history to live in either Florida or Texas, and it's funny, I started hearing rumors that the hurricane was going to hit as far north as Nashville. Come 2 o'clock in the morning, two o'clock in the morning on Sunday, they said the hurricane is supposed to hit Nashville. I looked it up. By then, it's only going to have 10 and 20 mile per hour winds.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be incredibly diminished. And yes, we are going to get rain for like another 2 or 3 days in a fucking row.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be a full-fledged hurricane.
I should have saved it. But I saw a picture comparison of Hurricane Andrew, which was massively destructive.
God. I haven't even thought about Hurricane Irma.
Back
in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think Irma looked to be like, God, four times bigger. It was
than Andrew?
Yes.
Oh, what about Katrina?
I don't know. I know that, oh my God, there are a lot of disasters going on right now.
And then
now.
There's fucking Tropical Storm Jose, which is right on fucking Hurricane's ass.
There are earthquakes happening in, like, Mexico or Central America that are supposed to maybe send tsunamis our way. It's
our way?
Yes. Well, you think if a earthquake happens near the Gulf of Mexico, well, where did the tsunami go?
Yeah, but would it reach this far inland?
Wouldn't I meant our way as in America.
Oh, America!
Yeah, no, for Tennessee to get a tsunami, basically the eastern seaboard is gone.
I mean, that's whole states underwater if Tennessee gets hit by a tsunami.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, back to it. So if you are evacuating because a hurricane is coming your way and you're on the interstate and you're like horrible bumper to bumper, not having to poop while you're stuck in traffic, you literally can't get off. Huh. That's a good use.
Oh, you said poop.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely have that. And I've always just found the generic brand anti-diarrhea, it's pretty sure it's called Lopramide. It works just fine. I've had to take it before on road trips, and yeah, it'll stop you. You're good.
I usually take the generic brand of Imodium.
Lopramide.
Yeah, Lopramide.
It's the main ingredient.
Yeah, just whatever the fuck that is, because it's really good. It'll plug me up for 3 days.
Yeah, I don't have quite that problem, but if I have diarrhea and I take the Lopramide, diarrhea's gone.
Well, it kills me. I'll take the diarrhea. I'll have the diarrhea, then I'll take the Lopramide, and then the whole next day, I'm like letting the most loud, long, hollow farts.
Oh.
It's like it's turned everything solid into my system into gas now.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, literally, and 9 times out of 10, once taking that, I don't poop for 3 days.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't feel bad from not pooping for 3 days, but come day three, oh shit.
You know what? And that brings up an interesting point that I hadn't even thought about.
What's that?
That's on even these over-the-counter drugs, you know, not even talking about, like, if you're hoarding or, like, getting secondhand prescription drugs, but even the over-the-counter stuff, it's probably... behooves you, I love using that word, probably behooves you to test them out and see how you personally react to these different over-the-counter drugs. Mike obviously is way more sensitive to Lopramide than I am. You know, I sometimes will have to take multiple doses of Lopramide to deal with a diarrhea, whereas Mike can take it and done.
Well, usually when I get diarrhea, I'm literally pissing out my ass.
Yeah.
I mean, really hardcore. So I will always start off by taking two of the damn things, because it says on your first one, you may want to take two.
Yeah.
So I'll take two. And then sometimes, and usually the instructions take two, and then take one for each additional loose movement, not to exceed a certain number within.
Yeah.
So at most, I'll take the two. Then I'll usually have one more and take one, and then I'll take one more, and then I'm done pooping for 3 days.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just only have to take the initial two, though.
Yeah. So I would say like get these medicines and try them. What is something else? So we've got that having some oral hydration salts in there, some rehydration stuff. That's a good idea because obviously if you poop, you lose out. So.
And bat friend, I always keep a bottle of Batarade right here on my handy utility belt.
Batarade, yeah.
Right next to the shark repellent.
Yeah, so one of the main killers in a disaster is sharks. Dehydration. You either can't get your hands on good water, or you can't keep it in. So pooping it out, you're peeing it out, you're throwing it up out.
No, senor, you do not want to drink the water.
So, yeah, having that to rehydrate you, that's good. And there's different – you can get some different kinds. You can make your own. You make your own, like, sort of powdered mix. You can – I wouldn't obviously suggest keeping Gatorade
in
there.
I've actually seen a Cracked article that shows you how to make Gatorade at home.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've seen some articles on how to make your own basically Gatorade.
It's basically Kool-Aid with salt in it.
Yeah, a couple minerals, couple trace minerals. Mm. I was just reading. Actually, I was just reading about Gatorade sort of rehydration body because when you're on a low carb diet, basically you don't you need more salt than someone that eats it. So not only do people that eat processed food have more salt coming in the form of the processed foods having more sodium added to it, but the way your body processes stuff, you need more salt anyway. So you have less salt and you need more of it. And unfortunately, stuff like Gatorade is mostly just loaded with sugar, but it has sort of the holy trinity I found of rehydration things were sodium, general salt, basically just regular salt, magnesium, which is something that I'm surely lacking, and potassium.
Magnesium makes you poop.
In high doses, it does, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have some very high-dose magnesium on the way for, one, because I'm short. I don't have enough magnesium. And
you'll be even shorter if you take high doses of magnesium. You'll poop your brains out.
I was reading that for good, healthy functions, you want about 4,000 milligrams of magnesium a day, and I probably get two milligrams. I get probably none, so... And most of the pills I found were like 100 or 200. I found on Amazon some magnesium pills that were like 1,300 a pill. Yes! And people are like, yeah, I take like two of them. And I magnesium is good for sleep and a whole host of body functions. Those three things together would make a hydration salt if you didn't want to buy an already made, you know, oral rehydration.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of commercial ones, you know, powdered Gatorade if you want to be super cheap.
They sell that by the tub.
Yeah, you can find that anywhere. So
you can find the little individual packets you can just pour into a bottle of water and shake it.
Exactly. I don't have all the things listed on here.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
Oh, antacid. A few different ways to antacid, but having that...
Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah. You know, and I'm a pretty big fan of Alka-Seltzer. So I usually keep some Alka-Seltzer in my first aid kits. I usually keep some generic Tums or... What's the other one?
Tums.
What's the other one?
Oh, my Lanta.
No, not my Lanta.
Pepto-Bismol?
Pepto-Bismol's good too, but not... The little round, multicolored. They're like cherry flavored. They're like wafers.
Necco wafers. No, what? Now we're moving into candy. Ah, fuck.
Tums are that, and there's something else too.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Rolaids.
Rolaids. Yes, you know, you kind of always grow up with your family's brand. My family was a Rolaid family, so I like to keep some Rolaid in there.
It's funny. My parents always kept Alka-Seltzer in the medicine cabinet, but I grew up and started using Tums.
I think we were an Alka-Seltzer family. My dad used to drink a lot of Alka-Seltzer, and that's another difference between you and I. I love fizzy things. You hate fizzy things.
Yeah, I'm not.
So for me, Alka-Seltzer is like, hey, I can turn this water into salty fizzy water, and I love salt. So it's like a this will help your tummy ache, and it's salty and fizzy, double good for you, James. Yeah.
Well, Tums are better for me because I mean I don't do a lot of stomach aches, but I do get heartburn. The heartburn runs around in my house a lot.
Yeah,
well, we like really spicy food.
Yeah. I have had heartburn like once, and it was ugh.
Sidetrack. Speaking of all, this, just all reminded me of this. Did you ever have my dad's chili?
I don't think so.
You never had my dad's chili?
I don't think so.
Damn it! I just used my dad's recipe for his chili. I got him to send it to me, and I made a pot of chili. And me and my wife damn near both cried after we tasted it. It tasted exactly like my dad's chili. And no, it's just so good. The pot's gone. I made that pot 2 days ago. It was a huge pot. It's gone now. Me and her ate the fuck out of it. I think there's a little bit left in the bottom of the pot.
I love a good chili.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to. No, trust me. I will make it again. It was fucking awesome. My dad always used beans, though.
I was going to say, please go to survivalpunk.com on this episode when it comes out and leave a comment. There are two kinds of people in this world.
Chili.
There are chili with beans and chili without beans.
Oh, God. Yeah. Even the National Chili Cook-Off has now made a subcategory for chili with beans. Because it used to be, it was just chili.
Is it in Texas? Is the content? Texas is no bean. Texas does not allow beans.
Texas is hardcore no beans. They don't believe in chili with beans. Most of the time, Texas chili is just referred to by its nickname, a bowl of red.
I like that.
Interestingly enough, Cincinnati, Ohio, who considered themselves at least at one point to be the chili capital of the world, what one of their weird common ingredients for their chili is? Cocoa powder.
Interesting.
Most in Cincinnati chili will have cocoa powder in it.
Hmm. I've never had Cincinnati. I've seen cans of it, but I've never had actual Cincinnati. I've been through Cincinnati, but I've never stopped there.
And believe it or not, I actually like a good white chili every now and then. Like a good white chicken chili. If one's done properly, it can be amazing.
I have never had a white chili, and I've kind of always wanted I've always wanted a white chili. I've also always wanted a mole, and I've never had either.
Well, my supervisor at work, I don't know much about her cooking skills, but on a couple of occasions she has brought in white chicken chili, and it was to die for.
Nice.
She made it taste exactly like regular chili somehow, but it was white chili. I mean, it was great.
I'll have to try that. On top of just sort of antacids, I also like the, I think it's ranitide is the active ingredient name.
Ranitidine.
Ranitidine,
I work in a pharmacy.
Exactly. And it's the same thing. It's sort of a better sort of stomach acid control.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like my next level. So like if I had like a little bit of stomach acid upset sort of stomach, I would probably start with the Rolaids, and then didn't work, I would go with the
Ranitidine. You always want to start with the minimum first.
Right.
Always start with the minimum. Don't skip straight to the fucking end and use your good shit first.
Right. Let's see, cough drops.
That goes for every fucking thing. That doesn't just go for medicine. That goes for your supplies. That goes for every fucking thing. Start with the minimum of what you need. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a sticking point.
Unless you're dealing with terrorists or home intruders, and then you deal with
Then you start on the other end of the list.
Right.
You work your way back down.
Next up is cough drops. They're easy to throw in there.
Oh yeah.
You get a little cough throat on the trail or whatever, or in your first aid, throw some in there.
And they usually come in like a lot of times. They'll come in like the either like
individually wrapped,
like individual wrapped, or you can get like a roll of them, like the Lifesavers. They'll come in a roll like that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, I mean, if you want a bunch of them, they'll come in a resealable bag.
Yeah. So I usually throw some of those in there. Past that, sort of medicines will, in my everyday carry, in my bug out bags, and in my first aid kit, all of those, I usually stash some like lip balm. With me, it's Blistex. I'm very brand loyal, and I have probably 100 of these things floating around. It has multiple uses. There's a lot of things you can do with a chapstick, a Blistex, but having like dry cracked lips is just bad. It lets in shit. It's bad. Don't have it.
Now, I mean, when using chapstick, you want to apply it. Okay, guys, you want to apply it to both lips. Don't just put it on the one lip and then mash your lips together like a woman putting on lipstick. I mean, you can do that, but then you have to carry the chapstick in your asshole, which would probably be a good idea because I'm always losing my chapstick.
Which I am always losing my chapstick. That's why I hide it in every single like case, every kit, everything I have. And that's sort of like your basic list of medicines and stuff that you should carry if you have any sort of chronic disease, any sort of thing that you have to have a medicine for.
Maintenance medicines. Like blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicines, asthma medications, shit like that. Shit that you take every day, you need a supply of that in your bag.
Yes. If you have to talk to your doctor and say that, you're building a first aid kit and you want to put some of this in there, if you have a good doctor, most of them be like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, let me give you like an extra, small something on there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you have asthma, you have an extra inhaler in there. Like,
yep.
And if you carry your bug out bag with your first aid kit with you in your car at all times and you're like, oh, I'm having an asthma attack, totally need an inhaler, left mine at home. Oh, I have my backup one.
Yep.
Makes sense.
And as somebody with asthma, I would recommend putting your backup, having backup inhalers. Yeah. I've always got one in my pocket, but it's funny. Every time I get a refill of my inhaler, I don't throw the old inhaler away. Even if it's down where it says it's zero, they say after that the meter only have like 200 metered doses in it, and once it gets to zero, there's still medication left in there. It might not be a metered dose anymore. It's starting getting low, but just take an extra puff until it's bone dry. I only throw an inhaler away once nothing comes out of it when I squeeze it.
Yeah. And so there's that. If your doctor says no, there are ways on the internet to find things.
Oh, God, yeah.
India will sell you whatever you want to get, by the way.
I would recommend, especially for maintenance medicines, I would recommend at the very minimum having a week's supply of each in your bug out bag.
Totally agree.
I would, you know, common sense wise, I'd recommend having a full refill of each in your fucking bug out bag. It's always more is always better than less.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when it comes to stuff like that.
If you are a type 1 diabetic, I don't really know what to tell you.
About insulin?
About insulin.
It has to be kept refrigerated. Yeah. That's not the kind of thing.
I've heard work being done on synthetic, non-refrigeratable insulin.
Mm-hmm.
There are dietary things you can do to make it, but it's not really...
You can carry insulin with you all the times, but you have to have a cooler with you that's always full of ice or ice packs and stuff like that. And you have to change that shit out regularly because you don't want your insulin. As soon as your insulin hits room temperature and stays there for like 5 minutes, it
degrades.
Yeah. It's not going to do you a damn bit of good. I mean, that's one of the harder things to keep. So I would recommend keeping some in your fridge at home. You know, if you're a diabetic, if you're an insulin dependent diabetic, you've already got some in the fridge at home. If you have a workplace that has a refrigerator, keep some in there. I mean, any place that you go, if you've got buddies' houses that you visit on a regular place, or fucking keep a bottle of insulin there. I'm sure they won't mind.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's ways to do it.
Yeah. So obviously if you do have diabetes, that's something that you personally need to look into a lot more. And it's outside the scope of this basic first aid kit.
You know, they quit fucking selling the Primatene mist inhalers.
The off-brand ones you can get over the counter?
Yeah, for bronchial asthma.
Yeah.
They're not as good as a name brand inhaler, but I've had to use them in a pinch, and they will get me through an asthma attack. Yeah, they don't make those anymore. You know, no, apparently, I don't know who fucking lobbied for it, but a lot of the fucking over-the-counter asthma medication is virtually impossible to find anymore. And I think that's just bullshit. I mean, fucking shit that's going to help a motherfucker breathe should be everywhere. They should have fucking Primatene mist in goddamn vending machines.
I do have issues with some of the things being restricted to prescription that I'm not really a big fan of that anyway. Negligently, though, I kind of forgot two things that definitely need to be on the medication list. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can move on because may be a multiple part in itself.
Oh, God.
We're already past 30 minutes, and we're just talking about medication.
We were past 30 minutes 10 minutes ago. If you look now, I guarantee we're into the 40s.
Yeah. So, yeah, negligently, I forgot that you should have some allergy medicine, some generic Benadryl or whatever, something like that, to not just, like, yeah, if you have allergies, you definitely need something, and maybe you need something stronger, like Zyrtec or something over the counter like that. But even for like allergic reactions to things, you should have something like that to just sort of knock it off. Okay. And if you can get your hands on it or make your own, preferably make your own since they're more expensive and crazy hard to get now. But having what's that thing?
Describe it for me.
You stab yourself with it, and it keeps you from going to anaphylactic shock.
Oh, an EpiPen.
An EpiPen. If you can get an EpiPen, or like we talked about in an episode a long time ago, your own EpiPen.
There's very cheap ways to do it.
Yeah, having something like that, especially if you have anaphylactic reactions to insects, Mike should be carrying an EpiPen with him.
You know, I'm actually starting to think that my parents raised me on bullshit.
Have you been stung and not had an anaphylactic shock?
I don't think I've ever been stung.
So you have no idea then.
I got stung that one time by the wasp, and I didn't go into fucking anaphylactic shock. I think that my mother, God rest her soul, I think she raised me thinking that I was allergic to bee stings. Just so I would be insanely cautious and never get stung. And God damn it, if it didn't work. I honestly don't, I've never been stung by a bee.
Hmm. I have, and I don't really.
You know, and
have.
I would, and I've told people about this story about where I was stung in the shoulder and my whole side of my neck and face and everything swole up. I actually don't remember that happening.
Huh.
That happened when I was a child, allegedly, the way my parents told it to me, and I just started telling everybody the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why would they lie to me? But I honestly don't remember that happening. And I usually have a really, I have a very, very, I mean, I've got memories from when I was one, literally from when I was 1 year old. And I don't remember that ever happening. But I remember every other traumatic thing that's ever happened in my fucking life. But you'd think I'd remember that.
Yeah.
This is starting to turn into a therapy session.
You should definitely have an EpiPen or an analog, something that you make yourself, something to deal with that. You know, because even if you do not, even if you're not like that allergic to stings, if like Africanized bees attack you, it doesn't matter if you are or not. That many stings, you will go into anaphylactic shock.
It only takes like 100 Africanized bee stings to kill somebody, too.
Yeah, yeah, and if you get swarmed by like crazy,
There's usually 10,000 of those. There's usually like 10,000 bees in a hive.
Yeah. So yeah, it's if somehow you do make it out from being stung, you would need to have that treatment. Or if you get stung a lot, but you manage to mostly get away from the swarm, just have an EpiPen or have that level of treatment there.
Better safe than not breathing.
Yeah. And that's sort of all the basic medicines. Hopefully I am not neglecting anything this time. If you have a specific thing, then you need to address that specifically. And there are some other things you can carry, and I kind of want to go through these quick. Whenever I like have to go to the doctor, and it's been a couple years, if I have leftover things, I'll put in there. So, like, you have some leftover antibiotics, throw those in there in case you need them.
Oh, God, yeah. Leftover painkillers from the injury.
Leftover painkillers, yeah. I have gone in and used those before. Like, I had a spider bite that I had to have treated, and they prescribed me generic lower tabs, and I didn't need them all, so I just threw them in my bug-out bag. And then a couple years ago when I sprung my ankle, the worst I've ever sprung it, I went through those.
Was that when you jumped out of my tree?
You mean when I gently stepped out of your tree and then just rolled my ankle sideways?
Less than a 2-foot drop.
Yeah, I literally just stepped my foot down, but my ankle rolled and I stood on my ankle.
Dude.
It was the horrible, it was hideous.
It's the smallest drops that have fucked both of us up. That fucked you up so bad.
Yeah.
And I one time had a, like, I'm shit you not, an 8-inch drop off of a whirly-roo in a fucking playground. I just dropped down off of it and fucked my back up worse than I've ever fucked my back up. It was an 8-inch drop straight to the ground. I fell on the ground, crumpled, and I could not stand up from laying down for like 3 fucking weeks.
Oh my God.
That was the only time in my life that, my fiance at the time kicked me out of the house. She was going through emotional shit, and she asked me if I could go stay with my dad because I didn't have a job at that point. I was kind of being kind of a bum, but I was in the middle of a back injury and was evicted from my house. I lived in my car under the worst back pain ever for 3 days. She let me come back, though. I can't hate her for it. She was emotional. She was pregnant with my baby, and she was having a moment.
Yeah.
I'm still married to her, though.
Good. I just realized we're at 47 minutes, and we're still on medicine. So what I'm going to do
is make this a multiple-parter?
Yeah, and I'm going to finish talking about medicines. So I have a few more medicines that I was kind of going to truncate.
Yeah, might as well just make this the medicine show.
This is the medicine show, yeah. So
this is a multi-part series about first aid.
Yeah.
We just made that decision right now.
We did. yeah. So we're going to be talking about first aid for probably the rest of the month. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because each one of these things, we could spend a lot of time
on. Yeah, and this is not even counting the trauma episode I wanted to do, so...
Oh, God, trauma. Oh, shit, and how many different types
gunshot
of trauma?
Gunshot wounds and stuff, yeah.
Knife it's wounds, knife, we yeah. got tetanus, we got animal bites.
Yeah, so you can also buy fish antibiotics and throw a couple of those in there. I would...
Oh, how long have we been preaching about fish antibiotics?
Yeah.
It's the same shit, folks, they give to humans...
Yeah, so, and I'm not a big fan of, like, using antibiotics as a Band-Aid. Not a big fan of that.
No.
I try to avoid them.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. But, you know, if you get something that you know, well, if you get shot, you should probably take some antibiotics.
Oh, God.
There are certain, you know, if you have a bad infection, antibiotics is better than gangrene. So having them in there and having some that you know you are not an allergic to. What was that sound?
Oh, that was my phone. Sorry.
Oh.
I think. Yeah, I just got a notification. Apparently, Scav, LR Callow, Buddy Coop, and two others posted in Survival Punk.
Good for them. And you should too, guys. So yeah, get some fish antibiotics. Get some that you know you are not allergic to. When you are bugging out or, you know, a lot of this stuff is like if you're going hiking and you get injured and your goal is to get out of the wilderness to get to a hospital or just to get back to your vehicle to go home, you do not want to exasperate things by, say, taking antibiotics that you are allergic to and then, you know, going into shock and dying on the trail. That's not surviving. You failed. You failed the test, guys. So, yeah, there's that. Any other... you know, I think for a while I carried some prednisone in my first aid kit.
Mm-hmm.
I had some leftover prednisone, and I knew that it would work for bad allergic reactions to stuff. Like, I was prescribed the prednisone when I had a bad allergic reaction to something. I don't know. Maybe it was when I had that MRSA boil. So they prescribed me it because I was breaking out into hives. So, you know, if you are breaking out into hives... and you have some prednisone, maybe you want to take that. You know, this... Okay, hold on. I got to stop for a second. This should have been done up front. Mike and I are not medical professionals. We are not giving you medical advice. We are telling you the things that we have done successfully and talking from our experience. Nothing we're saying can be construed as medical advice.
No.
Consult your physician. Your mileage may vary. Such and such.
Mm.
So something...
another type of medication that I would highly suggest, especially if you're going to be with a large group, any kind of like mood stabilizers or sedatives, stuff like Valium, stuff like any of the Z-Pams, as I call them, which includes like diazepam, lorazepam. There's a bunch of them that are Z-Pams. They are all really good for anxiety and helping to calm you down and make you think more clearly.
I like that.
It gets rid of panic.
I like that. You know,
they are prescription strength. Actually, I think they qualify as they are controlled substances.
Which legality issues may... but, you know, if you feel like taking that, you can.
India wants your
non-prescription thing would be to go on Amazon and buy some theanine. Theanine works really good for anxiety and taking this sort of the jittery edge off of caffeine. So,
oh yeah.
So theanine would work for those tense situations like that when you want to have a level head and not freak out.
Flurazepam, that's another one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a whole family.
Having like a caffeine stim pack thing to stay alert and to stay going, I'm a big fan of that. Back in the day, it's sort of frowned upon now. It still is effective, but it's kind of this is an emergency. If you are trying to bug out and you need a boost, you need to keep going. You can make your own supplement stack to get that extra boost of energy. And what you're going to need is three things. You're going to need to get some true ephedrine pills.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to get some caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get some aspirin.
Yep.
and you'll have to look up the ratios to use. But what it is so the ephedra gets your heart going, gets you going. The aspirin thins your blood to make it more effective, and the caffeine makes your heart pump harder to make the ephedrine work harder. So they're all synergistic. They all work together to basically just give you a boost of energy.
You know, and speaking of bugging out, I'm just looking at the Survival Punks page, and apparently Buddy Coop's got a buddy that in Tampa who just had to bug out. He's bugged out to Tallahassee this morning. And I just want to give a shout out to two other people while I'm thinking about it. I want to give a shout out to Nikki Jedlicka Halverson. Happy birthday. It'll be past your birthday by the time you hear this, but happy birthday.
And be safe. She's going on vacation somewhere on the eastern seaboard. Oh, God. I won't give her location, but it may not be a good place to be going.
And you know what? And I want to give a shout out to LR Callow or Scav LR Callow.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give a shout out to him. He is doing some good work. He has been going around to these businesses getting, he's about to do relief work. He's heading down to fucking Florida to help these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
He just posted something about some money.
He's needs some donations.
He's been posting about these fucking tractor places and other supply places, co-ops and shit, have been donating buckets and water and everything that he can fucking carry. And he just posted something about being creative. He's fucking invented some kind of bucket filtration system that will like fucking filter like a million gallons before having to replace the tip on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's like the latest thing in there. So, good luck with that, brother. You're doing God's work.
Yeah. That ECA stack, that could go in your... it's really more of a bug-out item, but you can put it in your first aid. Like, if you needed that boost of energy, you could throw that in there. We're just talking about medicines. Another thing, and this is kind of a little controversial, too, because it is a scheduled substance. Schedule 4, I think.
Okay.
And you can get it from India.
Oh, God.
If you got the Bitcoin, if you got some monies. So, modafinil. We've talked about modafinil before on the show.
Oh, you believe we've talked about modafinil before on the show?
Yeah. I believe we have actually talked about it. I keep meaning to do maybe a blog post and maybe an episode on drugs for the apocalypse. One of Mike's favorite topics. But modafinil has been given to army pilots so that they can keep flying. It's the army sort of stim pack. It's not the same mechanistic thing in the brain that makes you... So there's two ways that you are not asleep. You know, it's caffeine works on one of those mechanisms. Modafinil somehow magically, no one really knows, pixies and shit, works on the other mechanism. So it will keep you awake. It's on purpose use is for people with narcolepsy. In some of the higher doses, which I've never used, like up to 400 milligrams for people with hard narcolepsy, which would be like 4 pills. And I think if I took 4 modafinil, I would be literally bouncing off the walls.
Oh my God. No, I actually used to suffer a little bit from narcolepsy, but I haven't suffered from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So throw some modafinil
in
there.
What?
And,
what day is this?
Yeah.
Buy me a goose.
It'll keep you awake. It'll
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
It's not really necessarily a first aid type thing, but I like to keep all my medicine in the first aid kit, and it can go in there. If you have to do something, it's good for concentration. I would say if you have a buddy where you need to use your first aid kit on, or yourself, and you really need to be in the game, I would take a modafinil. I would want to. I'd want all my cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
And leave that up to you. Like I said, it's outside the scope of this to talk about surgeries. And unless you have practice and knowledge on suturing, you're not gonna. It's sort of that prepper sort of fiction, like Red Dawn, like, you know, fantasy shit where people are like, I'm just going to stitch every motherfucker up. Like, you're probably going to just fuck them up. I mean, one, a bigger part of suturing is cleaning. I mean, you if you stitch up people with like dirt and debris and twigs inside them, you've probably just sentenced them to death. It's over for them.
You have to clean. They always say to clean and dress the wound.
Yeah.
They don't just say dress the wound.
Yeah, no. And there's more. So I had to have stitches on my knuckle. So I had to have stitches on.
Wait, on the knuckle?
Right there.
God damn, how the fuck do you even operate?
It was annoying. So
it's not your jerk off hand, is it?
It can be.
Oh my god.
So I had to have stitches on the knuckle, which was really weird because the way it was split, you could see underneath the knuckle, which I didn't really realize that.
God.
There was a nurse doctor, and she did the
Hello,
stitching up.
Nurse.
She finished. The old man curmudgeon-y doctor came in and was like, did you investigate the tendon? No, doctor, I didn't. She had to take the stitches back out.
Oh, God!
Examine it. Sure enough, there was damage to the tendon.
Oh,
they had to stitch the tendon back together inside of my knuckle.
God damn it, woman, did you even look for that fucking tendon?
All of this, though, she never readministered local anesthesia.
What a cunt!
And, you know, by the time that my knuckle was being stitched back up...
Let me guess, she stitched the wrong knuckle?
No, but by then, it was starting to wear off, and I was starting to... It was a little annoying.
Fucking bitch, give me another shot! Shit!
Yeah, so, okay, I don't want to... I'm not trying to diminish this lady's talents. She went to medical school for a long time, and... probably had a lot of successful things. She did the stitching well. My hand healed perfectly. You do not have that level of training.
Then maybe she should have become a seamstress. Seeing how the only thing she seemed to be good at was stitching.
Yeah. So, I'm sure that a normal Joe Schmo would probably also not know to check the tendon or whatever. So get rid of those fantasies of, you know, stitching people together. Any other medicines?
I only have two other medicines that I want to list.
Okay.
And they're kind of hard to get your hands on depending on where you live.
Okay.
Marijuana and cocaine. Now, the reason I say these, and I'm actually not joking, and let me specify, especially on the cocaine part, I'm talking about medical surgery, medical grade cocaine. Believe it or not, it actually has medical uses. It is one of the best surgical clotting agents there is. It can stop bleeding like fucking that, but not by snorting it up your nose. Just saying. Which, you know, cocaine is currently illegal in this country. I don't know if it's illegal everywhere, but, you know. If you're bugging out of Colombia, you should be able to grab some of that. And marijuana, oh God, we can make a whole fucking episode just about the medical fucking miracles that that fucking marijuana can perform. It's one of the few known things that actually kills cancer cells.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of extreme, but Mike has valid points. Oddly enough, on the federal schedule of drugs, you know, i.e. meaning which one is more or less legal, cocaine is less harshly punished because it's deemed to have more medical uses than marijuana.
Ugh.
I think cocaine is a schedule 2 or 3, maybe a 4. It may be. Okay, so... I think Schedule 1 is the most illegal, and I think marijuana is Schedule 1.
I used to work with this guy who used to be a paramedic, and he was in and out of ERs and ORs all the fucking time, and he drove an ambulance, and he told me about this one woman, this older woman. I mean, and by older, I mean she was somewhere around 70, 75. She had been brought in for free bleeding nosebleeds. They could, she could not, her nose was just gushing blood. And literally, the only thing they got to stop, the only thing that they could make to stop the blood flow was, and it's just funny, it was one of the funnier stories, they packed her nose full of cocaine. It stopped the blood, but they said she was tweaking for like 2 hours.
Oh, I bet.
And this is, I mean, this was like pure medical grade, non-street cut with baking soda fucking cocaine. I have to say baking soda because, you know, it's not baking powder. You don't want to get those mixed
right.
up. I mean, because if you're cutting your cocaine with baking powder, you're going to end up with junkies with muffins coming out of their noses.
I can't even find cocaine on here. Am I spelling cocaine wrong?
How are you spelling it? No, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
C-O-C-A-I-N-E. Yeah, cocaine.
Huh.
I mean, they never write prescriptions for that shit, though. I mean, you literally, the only medical place you can find it is in an operating room.
Let's just look straight up the cocaine schedule.
But marijuana...
Two.
Yeah, schedule two.
And marijuana is schedule one. Marijuana is schedule one.
The lower the number, the higher illegal it is. Federally. Now, I mean, there are several states in the country where medical marijuana is legal if you have a card, and there's even a few states where recreational marijuana is legal, just, you know, it's legal.
And it's becoming more prevalent, and...
it's eventually going to be complete... eventually, there are going to be 49 states in this country where marijuana is legal recreationally. Every place except Tennessee.
I do not think so. I would not bet money that Tennessee will be the last place to legalize marijuana.
I don't have that kind of luck.
It will not be. I know for a fact Tennessee will legalize it way, way before some places. Texas, maybe.
Well, Texas already has medical dispensaries.
Well, yeah.
So at least they have well, it's funny because recreationally it's legal in California, but they don't have any recreational dispensaries.
Tennessee is getting there. We've started. I believe we made it legal for hemp finally, and then Nashville did a weird, stupid law that gets their foot in the door, kinda.
It's the first step toward decriminalizing it. You know, they're not going to bust you just for like showing up with an eighth of a gram of marijuana.
Yeah, and. So that's basically all the basic medicines that I could think that you would want to have. This is not a bugging in full medical cabinet, you know, where you could have a lot more stuff. Those I really can't think of anything besides the ones that I listed that you would need to have. Unless I hope to God I'm not leaving a blaring hole like I was with the allergy pills.
So if you see a blaring hole on James that you want to fill,
leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment or write to him at james@survivalpunk.com.
I can't believe we ran the whole episode just on first aid medicines.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the first thing on a list of four things. But tune in next week for the next part of our. Ongoing. What time are we at?
1:07.
Oh, goddamn, yeah. So tune in next week for the next part of our mini-series on your bugging-out first aid kit.
And hopefully, so the main part of next episode will at least be blood control, which may end up being a whole episode. I don't know.
There's no telling. This wasn't supposed to be a whole episode.
Yeah, I expected to sort of breeze through the medicines, and then
we needed to wrap this up like a half hour ago.
Yeah.
And then we just kept going.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that we hit on all the major medicines. I don't really see another category, you know.
I need to eat.
You know, I wouldn't see that people need blood thinners or anything like that, but that's it. And on that bombshell, let's wrap this episode up.
So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
And remember, if it's in a bottle that rattles, or if it's a pill, put it in your, I don't know. Keep shit in your bug-out bag, yo.
DIY to self-medicate, use guys!
Use guys! Pass that thing, motherfucker, you're bogarting it.